I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And it's a holiday weekend, so you have to have a fourth meal. Am I right?
Gotta have it. Gotta have it.
Now, fourth meal is a great place to start this week, Sife, because that is one of the names of our Patreon levels, I believe.
That's right.
Fourth meal.
Yes,
right. And this week was a potentially big week for the Patreon as we finally did something smart and had a great conversation with Pete Rock and in the middle said, you know what? Let's save a whole extra 30 minutes with Pete Rock for the Patreon. Instead of the Patreon being, you know, me and Sype sucking each other's dick for an hour and doing God knows what, let's bring some real content that our particular
like something niche to right. a 1UP fan.
Yes.
A hip hop legend.
Yes.
Not talking about anything specific, but just dope hip hop shit, like the things you would wish for if you ever got to sit down at a table with Pete Rock and just talk normal hip hop shit. How'd you start? Where was this and where was that? You know what I mean? Like, just shoot the shit with a legend.
Very much the thing that we're trying to do as time goes on the most with this show,
yeah.
which is have the Q-tips and the Pete Rocks just be friends who call in, not
right.
big interviews.
That's right. not right.
Like if we become over time the Howard Stern show and they're George Takei. Right?
Or Jimmy Kimmel. Just stop and
or
by.
Or Kimmel. They just come by to do the show because that's what they do.
Stop on by. The door's open.
So
door's
the perfect open. Move was Pete Rock on Patreon. And I even saw a tweet, Sife, like the first day someone was like, damn it, y'all finally got me. Been mm-hmm. listening the whole time, signing up for Patreon this week.
Yep.
Tight.
Fire.
Now, do you recall, Sife, at any point, a conversation in which Billy June said, hey, the day after release this week, I'm going to fuck up the entire listening system of 1UP. Do you remember that?
You mean an actual straight up forward conversation explaining what was happening with the podcast?
That no. there was, watch out, there's going to be a major hiccup midweek.
I can only... You know me, Peter Rosenberg. You know me. I'm always first to blame myself.
Okay.
Am I a good manager? Could I have prevented this? Were there signs? this is how I am as a person.
Right.
Why blame someone else? You know what? I allowed that person to play me because I put myself in that position.
Right.
So I have to blame myself first. There were no clear indications of an actual technical, whatever this was called, a kerfuffle.
It was a kerfuffle.
Yeah, no, there was no clear indication. But working with Billy June and timing-wise, there was no big Billy June fuck-ups in the last week or so, so we should have been on high alert.
That's a good point.
We should have been on high alert.
So I guess at this moment, briefly, Billy June, do you want to tell us why you thought the time to switch the RSS feed was Wednesday when the episode came out?
Right?
I'm sorry, you did?
I called him because...
Oh, so I don't even need to ask him. I can ask you.
Oh, no, you should definitely ask him. for pure entertainment value, please.
Okay.
My friend Kether from Monster, who is a huge fan.
I love Kether. Great guy.
Hit me and said, hey, the Pete Rock interview just cut off mid-listen. I was like, let me find out what's going on. We did get a message, some kind of message beforehand, right? There was a text message.
Well, that said, I'm going to be switching the RSS feed?
It was a very not alarming. Let me find it. Give me a second, guys. Have another bite of your gordita.
Here, I'm going to take a sip of coffee. I'm sitting on my parents' new porch, by the way.
Do they have a new porch or a new house?
They only have a new porch, not a new house. My parents finally spent a few bucks to add on something nice to their house. And it's amazing, Sife. I beg these people to spend money. They have it. They have money. I beg them to spend it.
Oh, here we go. Found it.
Go ahead.
Wednesday, 3:31 p.m.
Okay.
I just updated, moved our RSS feed, so if you get any wonky messages, that's why. It's switching over as we speak.
That is not a warning. That is a telling you it already happened.
And also, right, and also it sounds very like something that would be easy. Like, I'm switching over RSS feed. Tell me if you know if you got. I'm thinking wonky messages because our email addresses are attached to whatever platform you use for the RSS feed, and they might say, you know, like when you change your security code, it sends you an email. Hey, did you change your security code? If not, someone's tampering with your shit. If you did, ignore this message.
Right.
That's what I thought he was saying. I didn't know it was going to be quote unquote wonky messages from listeners.
You mean the wonky message is I can't hear your show anymore?
So, okay, so, yeah, I thought it was sent so casually.
So, Billy June, real quick, people already were annoyed by this. We don't need to annoy them more with a whole episode about it. But really quickly, what the fuck, man?
Ugh. I don't even know what to say.
Because
whatever I'm thinking in my head won't come out, won't sound right.
Answer the question honestly. Just say what it is.
Here's the question. What the fuck, man?
So, you guys don't use the Discord much, but the most messages I get on Discord and Patreon are, hey, when are you going to have a separate RSS feed for Patreon?
Okay.
I've been working on that.
Okay.
But you have to switch the RSS feed to a new platform.
Okay.
Okay, real quick.
And then I signed up months ago for this thing. So I could try
months
and figure
ago.
It out. Yes.
Months Years ago. Months ago.
And it wasn't,
months,
it wasn't was working ago. Correctly.
Was Chameleon Air in your hood months ago?
Wait, Billy June, real quick. How were people listening to the Patreon episodes up until now?
Like, I don't even understand. I just uploaded them straight to Patreon, and then they'd be like, why do I have to listen to it through the website or through the app? Where's the separate RSS? And
so they didn't, they weren't able to just get it sent to their phone, the Patreon episodes.
Yes. And I've been
And we're wondering why we have trouble getting patrons, because that's what they have to do. Hey, patrons, I did not know that was happening. I sincerely apologize. That's some fucking bullshit.
They still got to hear it on the app and on the website.
Bro, now in this day and age, you have to make everything as easy as possible for people.
Wait. So
you try to make the switch. So you've
I thought to myself, oh, this is a fucking good Patreon episode.
How can I make sure nobody hears it?
No, I was like, oh, let's start fresh for July. And I'm going to switch over the RSS so that the new separate one starts on July 1st and I drop the episode.
Boom.
Theoretically, perfect thinking.
Yeah, that's good thinking.
Yeah. Apparently.
So we recorded the episode on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it drops when? On Wednesdays?
Tuesday.
Tuesday's one of the... Okay. So in my mind, I would go, the moment I go, this is a dope episode, let me switch it on Sunday. Let me do this whole RSS
switch. Question, though? Why does the Patreon switch fuck up the entire podcast?
It wasn't the Patreon. No.
Mm-hmm. Not an answer.
It wasn't the Patreon. It was the RSS switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, but I don't understand why the RSS... I don't understand what... Forget it. You know what? I don't understand. You tried?
The RSS feed that we were using had their own version of Patreon in it. But we weren't happy with it. They weren't giving us, like, a lot of good info. And Patreon uses a specific company that costs money. So not only did I, like, drop $300 this week to switch it, but I also, it just didn't correctly. Like I wanted.
When I spoke to you during the week, you said you dropped $178. Now it's $300.
Maybe it was 100. I don't know. I have to look at it. It was two payments of 178. I found that after I talked to you on the phone.
Ah, I see. Two payments.
I didn't even, I just put it on. Yeah, I did it myself. So I fucked it up. I apologize. I cried. Just so you guys know. I cried.
You shed tears?
I did.
Wait, Billy June, you cried about this?
I was very upset at myself and mad. If you guys think that you're
also,
like, hard on me, I'm harder on myself.
Also,
Billy June.
Also these more, people are
there's
fucking
more,
mean
there's
to
more,
me.
There's more.
Wait, there's more?
A little bit more.
How could there be more?
He's not explaining
what else
why.
Happened?
He's not explaining why. He said, these people on Discord are mean to me.
Like, yeah,
You guys can talk to me however you want. These people don't know me, and sometimes these messages are so. I'm like, I don't want to lose them as patrons, but like, come on, I'm a person.
Wait, hold on. Can you read some of these messages? How mean are people being to you on Discord?
Let's see.
I did not know this was happening, Saif. I got to tell you.
And
I
then
did
someone
not...
defended me right after I got off the phone with Saif. And wrote stop complaining.
Yeah, your girlfriend. You're in the bosom of love.
Usually when a podcast says you have to be on Patreon to hear the rest of the show, the people on Patreon, you know, should get access right away. Billy June.
That's not mean. That's a valid point. That's not mean.
Yeah, they're slacking on their shit. Here we are paying top dollar.
Relax.
I don't fuck with Billy dragging his ass, and I know he's stalling till July 1st just to help next month Patreon episode quota. I'm not bitching. I'm just stating facts.
Wow. Okay. Another smart patron we have.
Okay. Okay.
But like, they're talking to me like you guys talk to me.
Those are the mean messages you were talking about.
That was mean?
I don't know.
Billy June.
Because he figured out your little scheme.
None of those were mean, honestly. You when you said they talked like us, I thought people would be like, Billy June, fuck you. I hope you fucking die.
Those messages too. Just not on
This is what I told Billy June. And I know we're not gonna spend the whole episode on this, but
let's spend the whole episode on it.
I had to have a talk with Billy June and I said, hey man, And this is, we're going to go a little inside. This is too much inside, and this is a little meta. But
wait,
I said, hey,
before
man,
you say that, can I say one more thing?
Sure, absolutely.
Imagine how Dragon. You're feeling if all of this just happened to you. You just get off the, and as you're about to call me, I'm like already stressed out that I fucked up and blah, blah, blah. Then I go on Discord and that's the first thing that, those are the first two things I see. I took them a little bit more seriously than.
I get it. I get it. Cause you can hear reading them now. That's not that serious. That was.
Yeah. Now I'm actually like making, now I'm like, I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah. And those are reasonable criticisms by those people. They weren't even mean.
Yeah.
Okay. This is all right. That was
friend,
good.
This is what I tell my friend, Billy June.
Go ahead.
I said, Billy June. I said, you can't let comments affect you. It's not real. We are in the entertainment business. You are a character on our show. You are a character on our show. Here's how you make it make sense in your mind. Your name is not even Billy Jr. Your name is Dan. So
also, what did you say? My Sife, last
that
name
is genius.
Was? You so, said my name was Dan Robertson.
Dan Robertson.
Sife doesn't even know your real name.
I don't know. So I said you're the bad guy. You're the rapist in a movie, but you're a great actor. Like someone who plays a rapist in a movie doesn't then go to jail for rape unless in real life he raped somebody.
Well, in this case, in real life, he raped somebody.
So here's the deal.
Billy June, the character and the person,
now
fucked up the show.
I told Billy June, I said, why are you acting alone on these things? We are a team. And why are you making huge, huge changes without talking to us first? And why are you shelling out money, your own money? Like, you're trying to throw it in our face. Like, I paid $178 for it. Who asked you to?
Yeah, and by the way, that money should obviously, if that's money we need to spend, it should come from the show pot.
Thank you.
Like, what are you doing?
What's happening?
Billy June, listen, this is a good thing to happen. Because I feel good. Because I'll tell you why. I feel good right now about the trajectory of the show, right?
Yeah.
And I really think
post-COVID,
I truly think that we will look on this era of the show as when we were figuring out what the new show is.
I agree.
And the people who are down right now, some of them are true original OGs from 10 years ago.
Correct.
Years ago. But
6 years ago.
But some of them are just the OGs right now. They right. will be seen. This era, they will be seen as the OGs of the show.
That's right. You are the new OGs.
This is the new OGs of the show.
That's
and
right.
5 years from now, when I think we're really running, moving at one volume.
One volume.
This era will be an important time.
Absolutely.
But in order for us to get there, some mistakes like this will happen. But more importantly, they need to stop happening. So we get fully on a track where we are able to build steady, steady, steady. We cannot afford to take people in an opportunity. The people who are supporting, who are choosing to spend money in the early days. Billy June, you can't pull out your dick and smack them in the face with it. Mm-hmm. That's what you did this week. You smacked them in the face with a flimsy, flaccid cock. Do you think that felt nice?
No.
That's right. It didn't feel nice. No one wants a flaccid cock across their face when they're trying to support the podcast. So I applaud those people who called you out for your July scheme. They were right.
I told you about the July scheme. You guys just didn't listen.
I didn't realize.
And if we don't listen, you can't move until we do listen.
Yeah, you got to make us understand. You got to make us understand. But listen, here's my question: Is everything now working? Everything.
Apple is almost done, but everything's on Spotify and backup.
So Spotify is completely good.
Yeah, it takes like 24 hours. I spent 12 hours in the last
nobody cares about robot chats
getting this fixed.
Nobody cares about you spending 12 hours.
So hold on.
I'm trying to tell you, like,
is the Apple? No one's doubting that you've put in the work. I'm just, and the Apple, Apple's still not back, though.
Everything is up except for the newest one.
Good. Perfect. And what about the
Patreon? I might just re-upload it.
What about the Patreons?
I'm working on that.
Wait. People, the people who pay still aren't getting the episodes?
By the time this episode comes out, it will be there.
But as of now, which is 4 days after, the Patreon people, we're hoping that they're going to keep paying and they don't have any access to any of the bonus content.
Just not on the feed. Just not the feed.
So the feed isn't working yet. The thing that you did.
I wanted to make sure that this all fixed. This is too inside baseball. I wanted to make sure that that episode worked and Apple all's reset before I tried to do the other one.
So they can they still listen to it?
They can still listen to everything. Nothing has changed.
Quiet. Hold on.
I'm
Everybody
telling you,
calm
nothing
down.
Changed.
Everybody, calm down. Can the people still hear it the way that they used to hear it that they were complaining about on the
Patreon
site?
Yeah, that's how I update. That's how I put Pete Rock up. I didn't change anything.
So they can hear it the way they used to. They just don't have.
Yeah. Once everything fucked up, I was like, I'm not touching anything until it's fixed.
Okay.
Because I thought if I fucked up, I'm not going to fuck up more.
I am no more clear on this situation than when we started.
You don't even understand it.
Wow, is that a racist?
That I'm clear about. I don't understand it.
Saif, I'm pretty sure that was a racist anti-Puerto Rican sentiment.
I don't care. I don't identify as Puerto Rican.
So everyone.
Okay, thank
Billy
you,
Billy June claims that when this is out, by the time you're hearing this, God willing, it's everywhere. And I really, it's hard for me to say to you, I hope that if you don't subscribe to Patreon, this is the week you decide to do it. You know I'd say? Wait a week.
Now you should. Now you should, because now it's going to be fire. Oh. Apparently now you're going to have your own RSS feed. It's going to be fantastical.
So anyways.
I have an update.
You have an update?
I have an update.
What's an update about what?
My friend Kether over at the good old Monster Energy has an update about keep your heads ringing. Ring ding dong.
I've gotten a lot of updates about this.
Okay, well, I'm going to read my friends.
Go ahead.
Keep their heads ringing. Angie Stone is a writer on there because the hook, Ring Ding, is from an 80s Sugar Hill single by The Sequence. Angie was in the group as a rapper first.
Everyone said that.
Everybody's been telling you that.
Everyone's been telling me that. I think it was Funk You Up by Sequence,
mm-hmm.
and that was the Ring Ding Dong, and that's why Angie Stone got the writing credit.
Right.
And I'm glad they cleared that up.
So is it sampled or someone re-sang it?
Yeah, they re-sung it, but it was an interpolation of the Sequence song, so she's a writer.
Angie,
I was just reading off Wikipedia and didn't think about that. So I want to say thank you to everyone who told me that, and I'd also like to say...
But...
Ring Ding Dong still sucks a fat dick on that song. They were like, so that's why, I'm not saying Kether was saying that, but other people were like, no, that's why it's still dope. That's why it's dope. I'm like, no.
No.
You know what you don't want to use in 1995 to harken back? Sugar Hill shit. Like, not Sugar Hill shit. There's some of it's fire. Some of it is not. Some of it, let's be real, guys. A lot of early 80s rap did not take the steps to forever. Like, it didn't happen to a lot of it. Now, Funk You Up is kind of one actually that did. It's a pretty, I would say that record of all the big Sugar Hill hits is pretty good. But yeah, it still didn't work. And by the way, put aside Ring Ding Dong. He still said, I go for the neck, so call me Dracula. And shout out to someone who hit me up on social media who said, yo, y'all really can't stand monsters on songs. Because there I was again, coming for Dracula. But that line pales in badness next to, I get so much ass, call me an astronaut.
Yo, somebody I saw on, this is going to sound, I hate saying this sentence, but I saw on TikTok, this guy did a impersonation of Mickey Ross, Kanye, and Jay while they were recording Monster. And they're like, all right, Jay, you're next. Go in the booth. And they start doing the Monster verse. And the kid, you know, he's playing all the parts. You know how TikTok is.
So it's showing his face?
And it's showing the face of Kanye and Ross. He's like, what the?
Yeah, what the?
Goons, goblins.
Yo. You know what? You know what? You know, if you hear me start the sentence with, you know what I saw on TikTok, the next thing is going to be tits bouncing up and down.
Yeah, I see a lot of that too.
My algorithm, I don't really use TikTok. The algorithm it figured out for me within one day.
Oh, yeah, right away.
They accurately said, you're a fucking disgusting creep.
Yeah.
Here's what you want to see.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yup, yup. Yup. And I don't even say, it's not like I like stuff. I don't like.
No.
I don't follow.
No.
It just, I can't help but watch for 5 seconds.
They're 100% watching us. And if you spying on my life, if the Chinese government is spying on my life, and what you determine from that is I like pictures of white girls with bouncy titties, fine. Have at it.
It's a great point. Now, here's the question, though. I'll tell you the truth, though. First of all, the things that they send you, this is where TikTok starts to get messy. There are times when I will see the girls and be like, yo, how old is this girl?
Yeah.
That does happen on TikTok.
I think that makes
me have two thoughts. What your algorithm probably, Sife, is just showing you old-ass Karens. They just walked out of the mall
from
yelling
at someone. My algorithm has gone to, like, divorced women showing their titties.
Ooh.
It has gone up, yeah. I won't.
Oh, good.
I don't
okay,
do so, all these young chicks. I feel really bad as
so
a
if
father.
They're, so wait, so
as a father.
So if you see that they're young, will you just try to swipe real fast away
so it
knows you don't want it?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Young is like
so.
I'm you know, a 25-year-old will pop up and I'll give it a twirl. You know what I mean? I don't like anything.
Never
like 19,
quick.
Like a college, like a group of college girls in a dorm room doing like a booty shake dance. No. Get out of here. Get
You're good.
Here. Yeah.
So that's what I was going to say, though. Like, I know this sounds really old and daddish, but man, like, what do you do if you walk in on your 17-year-old, like, you find out that your 17-year-old daughter's whole Instagram account, or whole TikTok account, is just making videos to show her body constantly?
I gotta believe what we're seeing is the worst of it. And I got to believe this. Like, you have a group of five girls, and one of them is this TikTok titty-bouncing, ass-shaking girl. I got to believe that someone else in the group is not that, which I hope would be my daughter. Is the girl that's like, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing this all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I got to believe it comes from fucked-up homes.
Right.
And neglect. I got to believe that because...
But by the way, it's not all that. I mean...
I know it influences, but I got to believe it starts there. And that I will hopefully have enough of a good relationship where my daughter won't want to do these things for negative attention. Like, I don't know if you're a fuck... I don't know if you're...
Well, no, they're doing it for positive affirmation.
No, but we know that's negative.
Right. You know that is negative, but they're doing it.
They don't think it's negative, but we know that what's happening
is a negative thing.
Is a negative thing, yeah.
Well, and here's the other question I have is there a male equivalent?
Like,
I know dudes, they do dumb things on TikTok. Is that,
yeah,
they don't do sexy things. They do dumb things.
Yeah, apparently there's a thing with girls. I'm way too much into this. Apparently there's a thing with girls. My algorithm is like a bunch of girls complaining about bad Tinder dates and shit. I don't know how I got here. And then apparently there's this thing where guys show fish a lot on their Tinder profiles or on Instagram where they fishing. They go fishing and they catch a fish and they show the fish.
Okay.
It's like a really bro thing.
Okay.
It's not the same.
No.
In the sexual aspect. But yes, guys are getting made fun of for a lot of shit they do. But here's what I'm saying. Thousands of girls you scrolling through on TikTok or Reels or whatever, you're seeing all these girls. You think that makes a guy respect you, because then you go on a bad date, the guy doesn't respect you on the date, and you get mad that he didn't respect you. And it's like, yeah, but look what you're showing him. Look what he's seeing. It's a fucking vicious circle, bro. And there's another thing I hate. Women, can I talk about women real quick?
Go ahead. We only have six or seven listening.
Hi, ladies. This is what I fucking hate about women. They're telling these stories, these awful Tinder stories. And the detail. He showed up. He wasn't 6'1". He was 5'8". He made us split the check. He was mean to the waiter. He talked about this. All this detail. Then they go, he asked me to come back to his house for a drink. Whatever. I went, blah, blah, blah. And then they talk about how bad the sex was. And I'm like, no. Why are you skipping over that part where you could have made the right decision but didn't and just treated as, yeah, blah, 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 whatever? That's where, in that moment, you wouldn't have any complaints about the sex because you shouldn't have went to have the sex. And if you did go to have sex, by all means, no slut shaming at all. Go have sex if you want to. But if you go and you catch a bad one, shut the fuck up about it. How about that?
You know what? I got to tell you, it may be the most brilliant thing you've ever said on the show.
Oh, whatever. Then I went. That's the moment right there.
No, so, well, no, and by the way, let's define whatever. Whatever, whatever means I knew he wasn't a great dude, but right. I decided to go anyway.
Fine. But don't skip over it. Say that part. You know what? A lot of red flags, but I'm not going to lie. During COVID, I've been horny as fuck, and I just need to get some. Baby girl, go get some. Go get some. But don't blame us afterwards if it wasn't right.
It's a very, very fair point.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah this.
How did you end up finding, like, where does your interest in this sort? It's funny because, like, when we did the radio show, you weren't interested in anything really about that's like radio show kind of topics, but you are interested.
No,
you're interested in this.
I would talk about stuff like this on radio, relationship stuff.
No. That's what I mean, though. Not current events.
No.
You like this stuff
more and more human, real human interaction. You learn a lot from these situations. You learn about people. That's what I really like.
Right.
You learn about your, it's baffling how these guys, I mean, listen, the stories that these women tell, these guys, these dates, they're fucking up, bro. What are you doing out there? What are these guys doing?
But Saif, think about the dudes that you know.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to go through the dudes that you know and like.
Yeah.
How many of them do you think would be a really good date?
Not a lot.
I got to tell you, actually, I don't know. You may not.
Sorry,
it's okay.
I dropped my headphone. What was that?
I got to say, you may not feel the same way about me, and that's okay. But I would say that you would be on the list of people that if you were in the dating world, I'd be like, you'd probably have a good time with Saif.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
I'd be like, he's going to take you somewhere pretty nice. He's going to be polite. He's going to be interested in what you have to say.
Everything. I want to have a real conversation.
I think you'd have a good time. But, like, we have to be clear about this, okay? And this is really important for people to hear. There's a woman out there recently who fell in love with Juanito. Okay? What could have happened on those dates, Saif? Like, that she was going... Yes, this is it. This is, yes.
He's Juanito, listen, top of the line, any survey of women, Cosmo magazine, or top three things you need in a man, humor is always up there.
Yes.
Humor's always top three. Juanito's funny.
He is funny.
Juanito's funny. He's got, like, a girl on a date with Juanito will be laughing the whole time.
No, and sometimes at him.
Laughing.
But laughing.
Laughing, yes. This guy's a fucking idiot. But yes, laughing.
But and he's also a nice guy.
Yes.
So my point is still, they've gone on so many shit dates that they go out with a Juanito or a Billy June.
Right.
A man who can barely get a coherent sentence out of his mouth, let alone try to update a fucking RSS feed.
And Billie June is,
and she's like, "This guy's, but this Billie is
June,
something."
Billie June doesn't know it. He's popping. Billie June is popping. Billie June has direct access. Let's take us, for example. We're not huge celebrities, but whatever. We have a fucking fan base. We were something. We're on the radio and doing this, whatever. He has direct access to us. He also has direct access to, like, a Michael Che or whoever. Like, he's popping. If you watch him, if you watch his life, he has direct access to, like, anyone that was on Love & Hip Hop.
That's
he
true.
Worked on Love & Hip Hop, right? He has direct access to all your favorite comedians that are in the New York circuit.
It's a good point.
He puts on shows that are fucking dope. I've done, in the COVID times, I did Billie June's rooftop show, and it was freezing. It was in the middle of the day on a rooftop. Great show. Great show. And he has access to, like, people like Matt Richards, who's going to be a huge star. So, like, he looks like he's involved with these guys that are, like, about to blow. He's got a knack for something.
Right. That's true. So even though the fact that he can barely put together a full English sentence, or, you know, and has a maniacal laugh that I don't have my drop board with me right now.
These dates, man. Wow. Wow.
Crazy, right?
I can't imagine. I don't know how these women do it, yo. It's really bad out here, man.
Oh, by the way, you mentioned Michael Che. I want to shout out to Che. He sent me a DM saying he loved the album.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
shout out to Che.
That's dope.
Now, anytime I've hit him up because, like, I wanted him to do something, definitely got nothing but silence. But I appreciate that he listened to the album.
Yeah, that's a good one. Good one.
Yo, you know what made me feel good? I saw a clip yesterday of Tyler performing at the Secret Show maybe or whatever. And he's like, yo, you hear on, he's talking to the crowd. And he's like, yo, you hear on this song? He was like, you hear this part where it's just DJ Drama yelling and it's empty space? He was like, that was supposed to be Rocky, but he ghosted me for 5 months. And I appreciate that. I was like, oh, that even happens to.
Right, right.
Like, Tyler's Rocky so busy fucking falling in love with Rihanna and doing God knows what, he ignored Tyler. I respect this.
Wait, are they together again?
Rocky and Rihanna?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're together.
They're fully together.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yep. And there was you should know this, Syph, because it's very funny. You could come up with a good bit. There was a thing that went around the internet a couple weeks ago. Rihanna got denied at, like, a New York bar because she didn't have her ID. And there's, like, pictures of her and Rocky talking to the bouncer who's sitting there like, I don't know what to tell you.
Wow. Really?
I thought it was pretty funny. I was like, I thought the bouncer was such a jackass. And in another sense, I was like, man, I respect you. This is the rule. You are sticking with your rule. You ain't got no ID. I'm Rihanna. It's like, that's great. Rihanna should definitely have an ID. I found that
that's
great.
Hilarious. That's
so, when was the last time you talked to Rihanna?
Probably like 2 years ago. Like a year before COVID. So 2.5 years ago.
I still reminisce on that beautiful Instagram post she put up for you that time.
Oh, it's amazing.
One of the best things ever.
I mean, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, the biggest, most honest, earnest shout out I ever got.
Ever.
Ever. Ever.
Like, I would love if one day any of the artists that I'd, you know, and your role with Rihanna was even different because at a time in which breaking a record on the radio was super big, you broke a record on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would love. I can see how that would make you feel really good.
Yeah.
Just like, imagine if one of the artists that I'd really supported when I was the only person who played them at the Grammys was like, yo, by the way, Peter Rosenberg, Hot 97, first dude ever played my record. Love that. Thank you.
It's not because she became a mega superstar. It's just because of the act of the shout out, which is what we all live for, like some kind of validation, some kind of appreciation. But the fact that she was the biggest superstar that I ever broke and now is on a completely different level lets me know, hey, little rappers, not little in general, but little compared to Rihanna's success, you can't send a thank you? I feel like a fucking weirdo sometimes.
Because we talk about this pathetic side of ourselves so much?
No. I don't feel weird about that. I just feel pathetic. I feel weird. I can't, like, every time I see someone who has put me on, I take a second and thank them, and they're always awkward about it. Almost every time I see him or communicate with him, I say, by the way, bro, thank you for putting me on. Thank you for giving me all of this. Chris Rock got me on at the Cellar. I thank Chris Rock. He looks at me like, get this criminal out of my face.
Gross. I don't like him. But you're like, reminding me of something weird.
But like every chance. And then some people say thanks a lot to me. You know who shouted me out recently? Mike Medium.
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy.
Mike Medium, DJ over at Hot 97. He was in some article. It popped up in my Google alerts that he mentioned my name. And I called him. I said, thanks for thanking me, bro.
Mike Medium talk that it ended up in Google alerts?
If I could tell you what magazine or online magazine, it was something horrific.
You know who gives you credit a lot? Stat guy Greg from Cheap Eat.
Of course, that guy. Yes, always says.
And by the way, and he is, Stat guy Greg is a regular guy who's on my podcast, but being on my podcast in a lot of ways has changed his life. It's made him a character, he has whatever on Twitter. He's got his 15,000, 20,000 followers. Like he's a thing. He meets all the wrestlers he likes, and
that's what it's all about, man.
He's literally the most loyal, thankful.
He's a lawyer.
Yeah.
He's helped me out many times with legal situations. Small shit. But, like, and always says thanks. That's the type of guy I want. Man, that's the type of guy that I love, where he's always saying thanks. And I don't need, I don't need nothing for it. Just appreciation, man. It's what it's all about.
You know what I want to hear? Want to hear a good ego slight for me this week? This is very small, but it sums up my craziness really well. Really well. And do you think our audience, when they hear it, do you think they relate to it? Or do you think it makes them? You think so?
I think
regular people deal with this, or are we just abnormal freaks?
I think the joy of WANDAP is, yes, sometimes we have episodes with Pete Rock. You'll never hear it because Billy June lost it. But sometimes we have these hip hop episodes, and we all love it. We nerd out. But I think the shit we talk about, where we think we're being pathetic and fucking this is dumb, nobody wants to hear this, I think on a human level, and it's the reason why I still do this stupid-ass show, on a human level, I think people like us in any field gravitate towards us, and they have the same situation at their job or at school or in their family life, in their family dynamic. I think that's why they like us, because it's like,
It is weird, though, Saif. I look forward to our show at this point probably more than any of the shows that I do. And I think probably it's because I do know that, like, on Saturday, I'm going to get to relax, talk to Saif, and it's going to be kind of like therapy. I really do feel that way.
I 100%.
So I hope that's a good thing. Anyways, so here's the little thing that happened this week.
Yeah.
I was just looking for something to post on Instagram. I hadn't posted anything in 3 days, and I was like, I need to just post something up there so people know I'm alive.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was going through my phone. I was like, oh, I don't hate this picture of me and MVP when I was at WWE last time.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And so I posted this picture, and I added a little caption.
Nice, thank you, yep.
And I threw in the thing. I was like, yo, blah, blah, blah. Cool, posted it. And then, because I'm a lunatic, I went back and looked at it later. I'm flipping by, and I'm like, oh, let me read the comments. And I was like, oh, no comments from MVP. I wonder, maybe he didn't see it.
Oh, from him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was like a really nice, it wasn't like, oh, my God, you changed my life. But it was, it was personal.
It was a nice shout out. I respected it.
And then I looked and I saw he had liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't post anything.
Mm-hmm. Is he a big poster? Is he a big old poster?
He's an occasional commenter.
Okay.
And I just was like, how do you read? And I love the guy. I mean, I consider him a real friend. But how do you read a post from someone where they clearly talk about you in like a grateful, kind way, and you just double tap and go, yo, my guy, I appreciate you. I don't understand.
No, I do. I know the answer.
Go ahead.
It's how Riz, for example, Riz and Chris Rock both react the same way. But in life, people are very awkward in taking thanks and praise. And we'll go back to the bitches showing their titties on TikTok. It's not how they were raised. It's not where they come from. They didn't get a lot of that growing up. So when you do it, it feels very not natural, where you probably got a lot of that in your little fucking little Jewish cradle. You know what I mean? In your fucking old, but you know, when, like, as a joke, you know, people always complain about Jewish mothers are too overbearing.
Yep.
That comes from the same family. You get a lot of that. You get acknowledgement. You get accolades from your family.
I get it now because the woman sitting across me right now, I get it from a Jewish woman. I get it somewhat at home, too.
Bro, I know your family. They love you very much. Like, it's a loving family you have.
They don't
insult direct.
Me.
Yeah, it's not direct.
Well, they do, like, but yes. Right.
Yeah, but you can feel the love. Where, you know, those families are like, they're cold towards each other. You know what I mean?
If there is family.
Yeah, I'm assuming, but like, that's part of it. Like, they didn't have that. It's uncomfortable to them when people give them praise or whatever. On a real level, on a human level, not like, you know. And you got to think about it. These are entertainers. Like, they try to fill the void by strangers.
That's just like we do.
And what I get, but this is what I get annoyed with. Like, when you're literally, I'm psychologically looking at you, and I can see you're trying to fill a void. And then when someone comes up to you, you act like a dick. What kind of reciprocation is that? What do you want? What do you want? You only want it on stage, because with stage comes in person. And yes, sometimes these people are annoying. Sometimes I got to walk away from a weirdo, but sometimes you got to sit there and take the fucking.
I know. That is a really good point, because it's true in comedy a lot, because comedians are fucking weird and dark, and they want all the applause. They want to cheer. They want to get cheers and laughter. Some even get off on the booze. They want the whole thing.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a person wanting to chat with them and be like, yo, I just want to tell you about it. It's like, all right, man, I'm trying to live my life. And I'm like, that's a tough line.
That's
so
weird.
You want them to spend money and support your life and make you feel good. But you legit, when they talk to you, like on the K show, we have a thing where Michael makes fun of me and always gives me a hard time. And we have a sort of going thing that, like, I'm a diva and I think I'm too good for people. And, like, I've made jokes where people will be like, hey, Peter, I'm going to be at the Knicks game that you're going to be at. Will you come see me? And I'll be like, well, it depends. What section are you in? And they're like, 313. I'm like, nah, fam, too far. I will make that joke.
Right.
And in all likelihood, there's some seriousness. Are you really two sections away from me? No.
Yeah.
But I'll meet you on the concourse.
Right, but you're making a joke about it.
But I'm making a joke. The truth is, if anyone meets me, even if they're annoying and weird, I will have to, in the most politely way, you know, handle it and enjoy it, or at least if it's super awkward, find a way nicely to escape it.
Yeah.
But the fact that there are people out there who are straight up dicks to people when
crazy.
You're desperate to get their attention.
Right. You wanted it. You want this attention. Because a lot of comics, and I'm sure musicians also, they would do the gig for free because they want the attention and
they need it.
But of course they're popular and they get paid for it. But if you really don't tell nobody, but they would do it for free. Who said that to me? Somebody said that to me pre-pandemic. I forget who it was. It was a big comedian. It was like a bunch of us comedians sitting around, and we all did a show, and the show was rocking. And he was like, man, he goes, they pay us for this. He goes, they don't know we would do this for free. And then he goes, I'd pay to do this. I would pay to do what I just did. Hey, don't tell them that.
Bro, I feel that about some of my WWE job feels that way sometimes.
Yeah.
Even though people, say, if you don't know this, do you know that the people in like the internet wrestling fans, that the ones out there who hate me,
yeah,
and think like, why the fuck is he on? He fuck him. He's the worst.
Yeah.
A rumor started years ago.
Yeah. When?
Years ago. That I pay WWE to be on the kickoff show. And there's this douchebag, prick, wrestling journalist who's been around for a very long time. And someone brought it up to him on his podcast. And this is a guy who, even though he may be a prick, knows a lot about at least how the wrestling business works. And when someone brought it up on his podcast, he didn't dismiss it as ridiculous.
Wait, whose podcast? Like,
his name's Dave Meltzer.
Oh, and he didn't dismiss it?
He didn't dismiss it. Someone brought it up, and he was like, yeah, you know, I've heard that. Yeah, yeah. I was like, really? You think there's a world in which Vince McMahon
How much are you paying?
How much could I pay? That they were like, yo, man, put the little motherfucker on the TV, man. It's his Make-A-Wish. They think that I'm a Make-A-Wish, and they just throw me on TV because why not? Now, Saif,
Hilarious.
I caught a rough break this week, timing-wise, in terms of topics on Hot 97.
Uh-huh.
Ebro went on vacation starting Thursday, which is normally a joy. It feels like walking into class on a Monday,
and
you're like, substitute, baby, we lit.
We lit.
It's just chill. It's chill. Even though I have more work to do because he's not there, it's still chill.
Yeah.
But of course he goes out of town the day before they announce Cosby's getting out of jail.
Oh my God.
And then Thursday night they had the Keith Sweat versus Bobby Brown versus.
How did you not have me on for that?
I should have had you fill in.
That's because, my lane. Bobby Brown, Keith Sweat.
So both of these things, though, were not. The Cosby thing is suited for me to talk about if this was 10 years ago. Now, I don't feel. I did talk about it, and I got hate for what I said. Now, Ebro might have got hate, too.
You're talking bad about a black man.
But Ebro might have gotten hate, too, but not as bad as me.
Yeah.
Like, and I wasn't even saying anything crazy. Like, and Shawnee was on the same, we were all on the same page. Everyone's on the same page. But when they hear me say it, it's just like, yo, who the fuck are you to tell us? And I'm like, man, sometimes it's really hard to be like, I don't give a fuck who you are. I'm just giving my opinion. What'd you say?
Because of race?
Yeah.
Who cares? Like, it has nothing to do with race.
Has nothing.
He raped all colors of women.
And admit it and said out loud, like, yeah, I had Quaaludes. I used it to have sex with women.
Yeah, what does it have to do with race?
Bruh.
Also, your man was talking bad about black people before he went up.
No one cares about that.
No one talks about, he was talking about you wear your pants sagging and you look ridiculous in the streets. Remember when black people started hating Cosby? Like, yo, shut the fuck up, old man. We don't care what you got to say.
Yo, but isn't it ironic, too, like, no one realizes the inherent racial bigotry in their own head, that you could have a guy like Bill Cosby's never done shit, never said shit that you agreed with, never done shit,
nothing,
and raped 80 women, right? Mm-hmm. Then you could have a guy like me, who you've heard for mad years, never said anything that offended you, in fact, always been an ally whenever there was an opportunity to be an ally. But when you hear me say one word about a person who's your same color of skin, you say, fuck me.
Yeah, and it's
and yet you're complaining about racism existing in the world?
Yeah.
You all we're doing is rocking with our own, that all you're doing is rocking with your own skin color. That is
100%,
it.
100%.
100, you are not judging me by the content of my character at all. Mm. It is simply fuck you. You don't have a right to talk. And by the way, I understand if you feel I don't have a right to talk. No one's forcing you to listen, but I'm just giving an opinion on a guy who admitted that he drugged women. That's all.
Yeah,
but
it's nonsense.
Bruh, but I'm telling you, I am going to, I feel like it's going to lead to me getting to the point of like, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I want to go do it in places like this where at least I know the audience who's here believes in me as a human being.
Yeah.
Because the problem with doing it on a radio is those people aren't choosing you. They're flipping by. They're coming in and out. Yes, you have hardcore people who like you on the show. But on a daily basis, bro, they're flipping the channel. So when you talk, they're not – everyone who's listening today, I'm sure there are things I've said they'd have agreed with and disagreed with, and same with you. And we have takes sometimes. We're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But at the end of the day, if you subscribe to someone's pod – and this is why I make judgments about people who listen to other people's podcasts that I don't like. When you subscribe to a podcast and you're there for them hardcore, you pay money for it, you do
a box.
You agree that they're probably good people who you fuck with.
Yeah.
And so that's like ultimately where I think I'd want to live is in a place where if we give an opinion, Scythe, we were doing the Keith Sweat, Bobby Brown. Mm-hmm. You know how carefully I even had to do that? Because if I'm too dismissive of something, it can't be as simple as it's just my take on that. Like,
right. It all
like when we were talking about, we were talking about the song Nobody by Keith Sweat. And I don't analyze things. I'm not a casual music listener. Mm-hmm. I'm not analyzing Nobody by Keith Sweat just as someone who's like, oh, I remember that used to be on the radio every day. I have to hear it one level deeper the way we just did Keep Their Heads Ringing. And I'm like, yo, I like this song, but I'm not going to lie. Like the whole Nobody, I just there was something about it that irked me.
Just
musically, I thought it was like a weak melody. Hook. I just wasn't into it. Yeah. Like, whereas Twisted by Keith Sweat, I liked a lot more. But by the way, let's also have another conversation. Keith Sweat Keith Sweat has a very cheesy voice. He's like the definition of sort of like dope but cheesy R&B. And so like a lot of his vocal shit, while I like it, I'm more critical of it in some way. There's no room to even have this conversation.
See, I already see where I perked up
you're
when
like
you said
cheesy.
That. I'm like, wait a minute. What you're saying to me in the last 30 seconds, what you're saying in a way, I get it why people might criticize you. You're saying, because Keith Sweat is, and I'm going to say this horribly, Keith Sweat is black R&B. That doesn't go into white fans who like R&B. And the way Keith Sweat sings it is a very, this lack of a better term, a black way of singing. As opposed to a more, I don't know, universal way of singing that crosses over. You know what I mean? So like, I can see what you're saying. It sounds cheesy, but if you're into that music,
there are other artists who fit in that same category who I enjoy. And I'm not saying I don't enjoy Keith Sweat at all. I'm just saying it's not my number one. We were like, yo, he wrote Freak Me by Silk. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I love Freak Me by Silk, but it's also shit, miss. Like it's both. Scythe, the verses of Freak Me are just a dude going, I want to take you in the bed. I want to grip you in the head.
I could see how like the passion of a something like that. Like I love that type of R&B, right? Love it. I understand it's cheesy. It's all cheesy.
But and by the way, just for the record, I didn't go nearly this. I didn't do this on the air.
No, but that's why you do it here.
Right.
But I love that type of R&B. And yes, although it is cheesy. And you want to know what's cheesier? You want to know what's worse? Listening to it a cappella. It's crazy.
Oh, no, it's nuts. No, I've heard it.
Listen to Jodeci a cappellas. You're like, I feel gross right now.
I know.
But it is such black music. Where, like, a fan like me, where, like, I was with my boy Jared the other day, Jared Sternberg, one of my little interns. And yes, I am trying to sun him by calling him a little intern.
Good.
He was like, how are you not into Doom? And he started playing me all these Doom records. And I was like, it just doesn't grab me. That's what Keith Sweat is to a lot of people.
Like, well, and just so you know, though, on the here's the thing that people don't get when I have these conversations and they start getting mad. And I can see it even in, And Laura can get away with, like, she hits a tone where she's like, what are you talking? I can see it. Ebro, yeah. Everyone gets this way with me. What they don't understand is, unlike most of them, I fully operate in another world where I hear the cheesiest of white shit. And I tell people, I'm like, this is trash, yo. This is trash. Yes. Like, I guess ultimately, I live in a space where whether super white cheese or super black cheese, if it's cheesy, it loses me.
Okay, got it.
Although, unless it's cheesy to a point where I feel that it's now being ironic, a la R. Kelly. R. Kelly's cheese was so over the top ludicrous that I ended up, like, have you ever listened to the Same Girl remix?
Yeah.
The Triple Up remix where he starts singing as Michael Jackson, doing ad-libs as Michael Jackson.
I can't figure out if R. Kelly was being ironic.
Well, I don't think he was, though. I don't think he was. So this unintentional irony is, like, so crazy that you're like, yo, this dude's out of his mind. Whereas Keith Sweat is in no way out of his mind. I just don't think he's the illest of writers. I think he's good. I don't think he's the illest of writers. I think R. Kelly's a legitimate maniac. A maniac. Who is singing things that I'm like, how could you have written this down and been like, yo, here's what I'm going to do. Let's do it like Michael Jackson. He does Snap Your Fingers. He does Lil Jon Snap Your Fingers as Michael Jackson. You've lost your mind. You are fully out of your mind. So and ultimately it's all taste anyway. Who cares?
Yeah.
But like I get, sometimes what makes me frustrated is that I'm like, part of One Ep has always been us fighting and you being like, you don't have soul, you don't blah, 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 and it's a fight. But if there's something about when it's not someone you know and it's just a nasty tweet of like, that's why no one gives a fuck about what you have to say anyway, that you're like, well, this isn't even fun.
Yeah, that's not even what we're talking about. Yeah,
right. Like, can't we all be part of this group conversation? Yeah. And yes, I bring a nerdy white aesthetic to it that sometimes I'm not going to see it the way you do. But it doesn't completely invalidate my opinion. Like, that just makes it not fun.
It's just like hip-hop and R&B go so hand-in-hand. But then when white people only like hip-hop and not R&B, it irks us a little.
But I listen to R&B on my own.
I know. I'm saying in a general sense.
Right. Like, but I don't want to get past
that way. That's what they're thinking. They don't care that they've heard you mention R&B you've liked for years and years and years. The moment you say you don't like something, they're like, oh, okay, so you're going to take our hip-hop, but you're not going to take the stuff that comes with it. You know what I mean?
I know. And I want to be like, hold on. So I could show you 100 records in my house. Stevie, Marvin, fucking Eddie Kendricks, Motown, all of the shit that I collect and play in my home. Mm-hmm. But if I don't like a cheesy 1989 R&B song that I was like, this isn't for me, it's like, yo, man. Also, for the record, Keith Sweat's a little bit older. Like, the Keith Sweat that I remember coming out was his later comeback shit in the mid-90s.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't know the Teddy Riley shit.
Like I know it in a tenuous way. Yeah. But like when they were battling, I'm like, you have to understand, to someone like me, to a white kid who was 10 years old in 1989, Bobby Brown was a megastar. Keith Sweat was a name I knew. Bobby Brown just hit in a way that was totally different because he was such a crossover star.
At that time, yes. But
yo, Ghostbusters too, son.
Yeah, right.
Perfect example. We in the verses, there was a Keith Sweat song that I didn't even remember that you'll probably know, but I didn't remember. Up Against On Our Own by Bobby Brown. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, this is no question, On Our Own, blah, blah, blah. Clark Kent texted Cast One and was like, y'all wildin' the Keith Sweat, blah, blah, blah. Clark Kent being whatever, 5 years older than me, 7 years older than me, he was already in an age where he probably didn't even care that Bobby Brown had a song in Ghostbusters. It didn't even matter. It was like, whatever.
Not in the clubs, yeah.
Whereas to me, I was 10. I remember in the movie when Bobby Brown's in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it was all part of a cultural thing.
Right.
Anyways, I love, this is now the new me, Sife. All I do is complain about every aspect of my life. But only here. I'm very happy in general, guys. But when I see Sife, I feel a safe place as someone who understands not only the crazy emotional things that I deal with because he deals with them similarly, but also has operated in the space that I've operated in. So I end up getting I get very comfortable sharing these things that I find to be challenging.
As you should.
I don't know. I still feel a little weird about it. Did you listen to Tyler this week yet, by any chance?
No, I'm behind.
It's pretty dope. It's pretty dope. The drama being all over it is pretty fun.
Yeah.
It had been a minute since I'd listened to, like, a tape that's drama. And I was like, wow, this is the first time someone's done this?
On a real album.
On a real album.
Well, why would you do it on a real album when you get to do when you do it on the drama mixtapes, you know, the Gangsta Grillz mixtapes?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
To put it on the, it makes sense that Tyler, who grew up with that, would use that. You know what I mean? It's like Kid Capri on Kendrick's album.
Oh, I forgot about, you know, whoa.
You know what I mean?
Bruh. By the way, I just completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
So I can't even really give Tyler the credit I was trying to give him credit for.
Well, I think, I haven't heard it yet, but from what I'm hearing, drama's on it a lot, way more than Kid Capri on.
No, way
Tyler.
More,
yeah.
But the way it's used is similar. Because Kid Capri's like, what, another world premiere?
Yeah.
Is it just one song or two?
I think it's two different songs. I forget. I just know it's always at the end of one of those songs or the beginning.
Sife, next Saturday I have an event in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You want to come?
Ooh, I was supposed to be out of town, but actually I might be home. Is that the 10th?
The 10th.
What is that night?
It's like, I think, evening into night, supply and demand. I'm doing a little real late set.
Yes. Let me figure that out. Yes.
I mean, no pressure.
No, I got to go. I was going to be out of town, but now I just changed it. Guys, it's looking like, and I...
Go ahead.
I don't want to say for sure.
Okay. Go ahead.
We'll put the information in the post of Instagram, but it's looking like...
Go ahead.
These are finally done.
Wait. I can't see because you're green screen, you fuckface.
Hold on. It's... There we go.
Oh.
Can you see
that? It's Juan Epp is... It says is dead?
Is dead.
So, hold on real quick, just to be clear. After those... Sife just showed me the Juan Epp is light... Juan Epp is dead De La Soul style t-shirt.
That's right.
Which he finally got done. I can't see that again because of the green screen. Keep going. What does it say on the back?
Years ago. No, this is not the back. This is a different shirt. This is a years ago shirt.
Perfect timing, because you know when that joke was in? Years ago. I don't even think we could put out a years ago shirt, unless it's on the back.
We absolutely have to put a years ago shirt out.
And look, by the way.
Listen, they're out, so.
So wait, we're doing a Juan Epp is Dead shirt now that the show is called Juan Epp is Life?
Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and so now it's a throwback.
Yeah.
Wait, so when might this be available?
I think it's up now.
You think it's up right now?
I think it's up now.
Where?
I don't know where.
You don't know where?
I don't know where.
So they have to just go on our Instagram and find it. This is so good, man.
I don't know where. I don't, because I named the store. I think it's Juan Epp Bodega. I think the name of our store is the Juan Epp Bodega. Okay, I don't know. Okay, I don't know exactly. I think it's juanepp.com. And then you can hit the store, which is our name of our store is the Juan Epp Bodega.
As it should be.
But juanepp.com. Now, this is what I've been told by some people who I've been very upset with in the way this has been handled. So it could go horribly wrong.
Okay.
But the message I received was the shirts are up and are ready to be purchased. Because what one of the holdups where, hey, do we have to create a separate Juan Epp Shopify? Can we just do this on veryfamousny.com because it's already set up? And I said, the amount of ear guff I would hear from Peter Rosenberg that if our joint shirt was on a Cypher Sounds website is not worth the stress.
Well, no, I wouldn't even care about that as much as the, could you, would it be make it annoying to split the business of it?
Oh, we wouldn't split it.
We wouldn't split it?
I would have just kept that.
No. Well, then why? Yeah, no. That is – you got
see?
The part
see how
right.
he is? You see how he is?
You see how this Jew is? Hold on.
Fucking greedy.
You see bastard. How this greedy Jew wants half of the thing that's his, half his? Meanwhile, Sife used to get mad at me if I ever, at the idea of me just releasing the podcast on my website and there was no money. It was just as a place to release it. Sife would be like, yo, we need it on Don't Get Gassed. And it was just a Z-Share link. It was nothing.
It was something. Clicks on a website matter.
You get a click. No, you can get a click. And you saw how big that made RosenbergRadio.com. Look at all the money rolling in.
Listen, man. Listen. Thank y'all for supporting the show. We support you. Oh, man. Fuck. This comedian I met last night. Shout out to this comedian I met yesterday. I'm in Chicago doing stand-up. I'm at the Laugh Factory. Shout out to my boy, Curtis. Curtis Shaw Flag. I met this Haitian kid. And he came up to me. He had a Haitian mask, like a COVID mask, a Haitian flag. Mm-hmm. So immediately, once I see that red and blue with the crest in the middle, I immediately, uh-oh.
Here it comes.
I tense up. So he comes over to me. He's like, yo, what's up? I'm from Miami. We're talking. You should come do a show in Miami. We're talking for a while. And I said, hey, man. He goes, oh, my show's in Little Haiti. I go, oh, I won't be doing that show.
Just to be safe.
And he goes, why? I go, I had a little incident with some Haitian shit back in the day on the radio. And he goes, I know. He goes, nobody cares about that. I go, some people care. Some people cared. And we had a long talk about it, man. It felt really good, man, to hear, like, his perspective on it, you know?
Well, and how old is he?
He had to be, like, 27 or something like that.
But he still knew about it.
He knew about it. I study people. The things he was saying, I could tell he was connected. I could tell he was connected by the things he was saying.
Connected how?
In the streets.
Oh, God, okay.
I could hear certain words he was saying were like, oh, he's connected.
But that's a good sign that he had love for you, though.
Yeah, man. And I was like, I said, nobody cares. It affects me because how much it affected my life in that day and time where I almost lost my whole job and livelihood because of it. But yeah, no one cares. But also, what about the one maniac that does care? You know what I mean?
Correct. Like, that's the problem.
Yeah.
But it is a great point. We have these things that affect us so much.
Oh, yeah.
But other people are like, I barely remember that. And you're like, well, yeah. And that happens just to other people all the time, too.
Everything. A breakup. A color. A fucking food. Like, whatever, you know? I've never eaten a gyro. An actual lamb gyro. Because one time I got sick from it and I threw up. Oh, I don't even know if I got sick from it. But when I threw up, it felt like the gyro made me sick. So to this day, I've never eaten. And I've eaten lamb by itself. But just in a gyro, like the smell of it makes me think of that time I got sick in fucking fourth grade or whatever it was, sixth grade. You know
crazy.
What I mean? And I'll eat a chicken gyro. I've eaten lamb shish kebab or whatever.
Right.
Lamb kebab. But I won't eat a gyro. It's weird.
So, guys, we're not going to ask you to subscribe to Patreon this week. Unless you – this would be the week that if you do it, you know what you're doing? You're showing solidarity with Billy June. Yeah. And who would want to do that?
And I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna regret it, but ease up on Billy June a little bit. And the only reason why I say that is because he has a brittle spirit.
I was gonna say, so the reason you're saying this is because he could be a danger to himself.
Yes, I would say ease up on Billy June just a little. Which now that I'm saying it is gonna make people double down. But ease up on Billy June a little because he, like, from what I know, he would be the type of person to kill himself, and we're all gonna feel horrible about it.
And yeah, and you don't want that on your. I know that you don't care about Billy June, but you don't want that on your conscience.
Right. Yeah.
And
so let him live a little bit. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be back. So give him his props.
And by the way, neither of us are easy to deal with particularly. And if you can't tell.
Every week, Billy sends a cover of the podcast, the little thumbnail. And he goes, what do you guys think? I go, I like it. Rosenberg's going to hate it. So whatever Rosenberg says.
And every week, that happens.
Can I jump in for a second?
Oh, please, absolutely.
Absolutely, you double Dutch piece of shit.
This week, I like it, but we could change the title of the episode. Cool, I did it for you. Next day, wake up. The Instagram post said, annoying ass Billy June makes us decide what the cover art is. Here's the one he came up with. You made me change it to what you wanted, but I got blamed.
Who said that?
The caption of your Instagram post this week was annoying ass Billy June.
Cipher me.
You, Peter. Oh. After you told me to change the title.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That sounds right. I read that and I was like, if people only knew.
Hey, yo, shut the fuck up, man.
Yeah, at Billy June, I can tell you what this week's episode's title is going to be. Everybody Hates Billy June with you superimposed on the Chris Rock.
Everybody hates Chris. Yep.
Correct. There you go. There you got it. Look, you don't have to do anything now. It's done.
Now you got it.
Yep.
Hey,
guys, thank you.
I'll see you around, guys.
Everyone, enjoy a barbecue today or tomorrow. Oh, no, it already happened. So
yeah. Hope you had a good barbecue.
I hope you had a good barbecue.
Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, yeah, to this very, very interesting place. I love you.
I don't want to live anywhere else. I understand the problems we have here. I understand I'm part of an abusive relationship. I want to stay.
Yeah.
When someone calls the cops on my husband, that sounded weird. When someone called the cops on my country, I'm going to say I fell and hit my head on the doorknob.
Wow, that's a great way of putting it. Oh, hey, that's man. Very good. All
Peace
right.
Peace out.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.